the road must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know by.
Hello and welcome to the April 19th edition of Education Now. I am your host, Athena Melville, and in today's program, I'm going to discuss philosophy of education, what we know from research and observation about how children learn. I want to start with a fact that is rarely discussed in the debates about education, and that is the fact that all children must have their needs met in order to be open to learning. A child's need for security, a child's need to be wanted by the parents, this is basic. Their needs for food, warmth, and security, all of it basic. Children are resilient, as we discussed in our Education Now edition with Dr. Chris White, and they can surmount great obstacles when these needs are met. The environment the child lives and grows in is also essential. Fresh air, room to move and explore the natural world, and being allowed to participate in the life and work of the significant others in their lives is also essential to the development of the child. The development of the child's senses, visual, auditory, olfactory, taste and touch, as well as both large and small motor refinement, are natural to the growing child who has their inner needs met. This refinement of both large and small motor, in concert with the child's senses, create an atmosphere for the absorption of information, and the self-directed human animal unfold to its full potential. There are countless examples and models of this process, and there is ample scientific research that supports this hypothesis. Yet the American public school system does not reflect the findings. For all children, the arts, in all its forms, is the container for the story of their process. And for the child with unresolved emotional issues, the arts in all its forms is the container for resolution of these emotional issues. I have deep concerns that children are not being allowed and encouraged to move. I have deep concerns that children are losing time for free play and imagination. I have deep concerns that the very programs which offer release or expression are being removed from the curriculum in a majority of public schools, especially the schools in areas of deep poverty where they are so desperately needed. And I have deep concerns that children are not given choices and their passion for a particular topic or subject is not being followed. This, despite all the research. I ask the question, why? Why are we as a nation ignoring this critical research and information when we reform education? I have been asking this question since the late 70s, when I took my own four children out of public school. It was a conscious choice to have these children, and I was not going to abandon my responsibility to provide them with what I knew was essential for their growth and development. I'm going to take a break here and give you some music, and I will be back in about 60 seconds with more on the topic of philosophy of education and the crisis in public education.
You are on the road, must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well, their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know by.
Hello again, and before I continue on the topic of philosophy of education, I want to ask you to feel free to comment on this show or any of our programs on education now. You can do that by visiting Education Now on Facebook or on Google Plus, or by sending comments to me at hermes@pacific.net. That's hermes@pacific.net. Now, back to our topic. First of all, I would like to recommend Maria Montessori's book, The Absorbent Mind, to everyone interested in this topic. And then the Changing Brains website, Changing Brains, which offers current neuroscience by Dr. Helen Neville and her team. You can find them on the web or through the University of Oregon at Eugene Neuroscience Lab. All of their work confirms Montessori's observations, observations she made over 100 years ago. I would also like to recommend the work of Sir Ken Robinson, who tells us that we are killing creativity in most of public education. You can find Sir Ken Robinson's work on the web, on YouTube, and on TED Talks. And the work of Daniel Pink, author of Drive and other publications. Dan Pink proved that rewards don't work. Something else which Montessori observed over 100 years ago. You can also find Dan Pink's work on the web. All this evidence, and yet the reformers in public education ignore it. Of course, others who made a conscious choice to have children and see that public education is not working for the benefit of the whole child can remove their children from the public schools, as I did, and send them to private schools that reflect the science and research on child growth and development, if they can afford it. Or they can choose to homeschool, which is also expensive because it means one parent cannot participate in providing income for the family, or if it's a one-parent family, well, you understand. But for those children living in poverty, most of them persons of color, neither of these choices are workable. Once my children were adults and I needed to retire, I decided to dedicate myself to empowering parents and students to change the direction of public education, because the children are our future. Stephen Krashen has done so much research on the effect of the lack of books and libraries on the academic lives of students who live in poverty. This is startling evidence, and yet we don't see movement in a direction that would correct this problem. What do we see? We see chains of for-profit charter schools run by persons who have no experience or education in the field of education and child growth and development. These for-profit charter chain schools have a criminal disregard for the child and for the profession of teaching. It is important to remember that these chain charter schools are not the same as charter schools that have been started by parents and teachers in a response to the crisis in public education that began in the late 70s. We see standardized testing and testing companies sucking funds out of the public system, funds that should be used to apply the research on child growth and development, funds that should be applied to create environments rich in hands-on experiences and offering a program rich in both academic and artistic expression. A program with teachers whose life's passion is teaching. A system where class size never exceeds 17 to 1. Research on the subject of class size has been available since 1980, and yet this too is ignored in the current public school system. A system where large motor refinement is seen as crucial to academic development. Standardized testing has increased, and the damage it does is never addressed. This is criminal and should be considered child abuse. Textbooks are also a waste of money. Who needs them, especially now with the internet? And information is constantly changing, and new discoveries in every subject being made on a daily basis. Using the original sources for research was always considered essential in any well-educated person, and yet we pay for and use textbooks, many of which are biased towards a particular cultural perspective and ignore environmental science. Where is academic freedom in this picture? Another problem is the issue of separation of church and state. While public funds are being given to institutions that ignore this separation by practicing a particular religious perspective using public funds, in other situations, the entire topic of diverse religious perspectives is lost. World religions and world cultures is a fantastic way to broaden the experience of all children and leads to an understanding and respect of differences. But few public schools offer curriculum that covers this topic. There are some. I know of at least one in the Modesto, California area, and it is a model for teaching tolerance. The mythology of world cultures is also essential to developing a good self-concept for any child, and yet this area is also ignored in most of public education. Before I take another little music break, I want to talk about another terrible situation in public education in some of the states like Tennessee, where they are going to allow the teaching of creationism as science. This is anathema. This is such a slap in the face to science. Well, I'm going to take another little music break here and then come back and talk to you about a wonderful way to address mythology, psychology, critical thinking, creative imagination, and current issues.
must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well, their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know by.
Hello, I love our theme music by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young here on Education Now, called Teach Your Children, and I hope you enjoy it as well. I want to get back to the subject now I left you with before the music break, the subject of interdisciplinary education. And to do that, I want to use the example of fan war or fantasy war play to illustrate my points here. You can find information on fanwar or fantasy warplay on the web. Just look under fanwar, or F-A-N-W-A-R. It's a capital F-A-N and then a capital W-A-R, fanwar, or fantasy warplay. Fanwar is a form of LARP. With fantasy warplay, you have movement. Therefore, you have the refinement of both large and small motor skills. You have drama, the use of creative imagination and acting skills, and costumes, of course. You have critical thinking. The storyline is usually taken from some event in current history or current issues, and during discussion, the connections and problem-solving occur, leading to dialogue and philosophy in action. Which leads to history, because an event takes place during a certain period of time, in the past, in the present, or sometime in the future. With the older groups, managing one's purchases and acquisitions during the game requires math skills and practice. Language skills are developed as the story develops, and often a script is written, and players communicate with one another before and after an event using technology and media, which also requires writing and keyboarding skills. And then there's a wonderful group dynamic which develops. And ethics and logic, of course, are at play here. Fantasy war play is an activity that is supervised. And although it offers the children a great deal of choice, the choices take place within the limits of the structure of the game. This teaches the child that there is no freedom without responsibility. Freedom without responsibility is not freedom. It is license, and we should call it that. What I have seen over my almost 70 years of life at work in education is a process where we swing from a system that has no limits and a system where there is no choice. Both damage the child. And right now, public education offers no choice in most situations. I just don't want the backlash to produce the extreme where there are no limits. So we ask the question, who is to blame for the state of public education? I don't know who is to blame. But I do know that unions did not act to protect children and teachers. They have had 40 years to confront this issue. Where were the collective voices we depended on? Parents put their trust in the system. And of course, there are parents who don't care or don't have the leisure to investigate and take action. But 40 years is a long time. And only now, when the system is so devastated and teachers and all the caring professions are under attack, do we see some movement from the unions. I started Education Now in 2006 to bring attention to this issue, to empower parents and students, in the hopes that I would see the rebirth of what we had in the 60s, when intervention meant caring and counseling, not incarceration and detention, when there was hope for multicultural respect and appreciation, when we were moving toward a free and open public education for all children, and when the remarkable science and research that happens in this country was revered. I want to see a rebirth of that time, and I'm constantly working toward that goal. Well, thanks to all of you who listened to this edition of Education Now, and please join me again on Thursday, May 3rd, when we share an interview with Leah May Horsley on medicinal and edible plants. Always a wonderful topic to share with students of all ages. Until then, this is your host, Athena Melville, saying goodbye for now and reminding you to follow the child.
Are on the road, must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well, their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry, so just look at them and sigh.
Your elders grew wise, and so please help them with your youth. They see the truth before they can die.
Teach your parents well, their children's hell will slowly go by. Them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry, so just look at them and sigh.